who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us for this week's sermon of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. God's Word is full of timeless truths that are relevant to our lives today. Here's this week's message.
Today is the birthday of the church. It may be kind of strange to hear say the birthday of the church, because usually with the birthday you think, well, it is the first time, you would think it's the first time someone anywhere perhaps has gone to church. But we know that even in our scriptures, we know that they have been going to temples to worship God for a very long time. In fact, in the very beginnings of the church, when Paul is going to speak to Jews about who Christ is, he's often going into a temple. And if we know the history of the church, we know that in the first couple centuries, the church largely existed in fear. And so they did not meet in places like this church or any other church that you might drive by. They often met in homes. And they met and for worship there within the home. And sometimes they would meet at special sites where their saints had been buried. And sometimes under the cover of darkness so that they would not be seen and they could not be persecuted. And so that's why you would hear stories of the church worshiping in cemeteries. And so we have a long history of the church as we know it looking quite a bit differently. Yet today we mark as a special birthday of the church, because it is on this day of the week that we recognize that, or this day in the calendar, that we recognize that God moved in a mighty way for the people of God in a way He had never moved before, and it constitutes what it means to be the church. For to be the church, of course, is to be more than just to be a group of people who gather in this building or any other building, but it is to be the people of God who have been set forth on a mission empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so I want to read for you the account of this birthday of the church. It is in Acts chapter 2. It is the first 21 verses that I'm going to read for you today. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages or in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? The Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "Well, they've just had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoke and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So let's look a little bit at what is happening here. It says this is the day, a day called Pentecost. Now, Pentecost, like you can probably tell just from that prefix, means it has something to do with five. In reality, it means 50. 50 days after their last festival. So they had celebrated the Passover, which is the festival of remembering that they were once slaves and God, by His grace, passed them over when He was smiting the Egyptians and led them out of Egypt. And so they would celebrate that every year, this deliverance from slavery into and towards the promised land. 50 days later, they would celebrate that the Lord had given the law to the people. So they would celebrate that they had the Ten Commandments. They would celebrate that they had the first five books of the Bible. The first five books of the Bible, the Torah, or the law. Well, books that remind us that our God created this world, is interested in the people of this world, and has set out and described for us how we can live faithfully to God. It was, in many ways, kind of setting out the covenant that He had made with us. A covenant we had talked about just a week and two ago, that God has said, I'm always going to be your God, and you, as Joshua had reminded them, and you are to live faithfully to this and to decide. And this law kind of laid out for them how they could be faithful. And so 50 days after that, they would gather together and they'd come from all different areas of the world and they would celebrate that there is a God who is interested in who they are. And they would talk about how they can in this life live faithfully to that calling to what God has for them. And that day was called Pentecost because it was 50 days after that previous festival. Now, in the Bible story, what we know is Jesus was crucified during that Passover time. And so this is 50 days after His crucifixion. He's raised 3 days later. He dwells with His disciples for a little bit, and then He ascends into heaven, it says in Acts chapter 1. And so here we are. It is shortly afterwards, and there is a big gathering and a big assembly coming for this holiday. And people from all over have come. And then something amazing happens. Something they were not expecting. Now Jesus had told them, wait, the Spirit of God is going to be poured out on you. But they didn't have any idea what that might look like, how that might appear. And so here they are gathered, and they're praying together. And they're also probably thinking, okay, well, Jesus was here, showed us how to live. But here we have this holiday. They're probably going to celebrate this as well. And it's on this day that God's Spirit arrives in a way that they had never intended. A gust of wind, a violent wind that comes in, lets them know without a doubt something different is happening here. Something unique is happening here. And they start to see what looks like tongues of fire that are coming down. And they realize this is the power of God descending upon them. And so God in Scripture has often moved through powerful wind or visions and displays of fire, whether it's the burning bush to Moses, the one who is given the commandments for God's people and tells them to lead them out of slavery, or the pillar of fire that leads them by night through the wilderness, or the fire that gets rained down when the prophet Elijah prays to God. And so God has often moved with symbols of wind and fire. And in this, they realize God is moving again in their midst. And God has indeed done something new. And everyone around realizes something strange is happening over in that home over there. And the crowds start to come to see what happens. And all of Jesus' disciples and all of those who have been following Him, they are there and they start to speak and they start to tell the crowds what it is that they've experienced, what it is that they've seen. And all the crowds who come from every known area of the world. I mean, one of the bad things about if you're following the Scripture on your phone is you can't flip to the back to the map section. But if you have a Bible, it's one of the things I used to always do when the preacher was preaching. I'd hear of all these areas. I'd flip to the map section. Or when the preacher got boring, I just flip to the map section and just like, hey, so this is where they went. And but these areas is basically the known world. And so Rome, which has conquered so much of this area, which is why the New Testament is written in Greek, because the Romans who have just spread out, have just spread this language all the way around the Mediterranean, this whole known world, all the roads that would have connected them to Jerusalem for this holiday were built by the Romans. And by the peoples that they conquered. And so here they are, all these areas gathered together. And they're hearing them in their own language. This is not normal. This is not something you would expect. For me to, if I were to go to another country and talk to that person, unless they were explicitly speaking English, I would have no expectation that I would be able to understand what they were saying, or that they would be able to understand what I am saying. And this is what amazes the crowd, is they're like, wait a minute, we all came here and we thought we were going to have to talk with our cliques and we were going to have to go through this ceremony and this holiday together. But as we come here, you guys are all able to talk to us. And as they start to say, hey, we can hear them, we can hear them, we can hear them, someone says, no, come on, you can't really hear them. You must be drunk or something. And this is where sometimes just the scriptures get funny. And they get humorous. And Peter stands up and says, come on, guys. The party hasn't even started yet. We haven't really even got to the celebration portion of Pentecost yet. It's the very beginning of the day. It's 9 in the morning. There's no way this entire crowd is drunk. Yes, some of us all know somebody who, you know, could possibly be drunk by 9 in the morning. But not the whole crowd. The whole crowd is not experiencing some kind of delusion from imbibing too much. And so he says, this is not the case. Let me tell you what the power of God is doing right now. And this is what I love about this story. I mean, sometimes we read the story and there's something we think, what is happening here? What are the disciples doing? Are they speaking some heavenly language? Are they speaking something different or new? But it says here that they each hear them in their own tongue. And so what the Spirit of God is doing is allowing each person to hear the news they have to share in their own tongue. The Spirit of God has equipped them to carry out the mission Jesus gave them. Before Jesus left, he said, I have a mission for you. The commission he gave to all of his disciples was, I want you to go into all the nations, and I want you to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That comes to us from the very end of Matthew, after the resurrection. He says, this is my mission. Go in the nations, tell them about what God has done. In Acts chapter 1:8, he says, you're going to go into Jerusalem, you're going to be my witnesses to Jerusalem, to Judea, to the ends of the world. He says, you are going to go out and share the good news that God has, the good news that death doesn't have the last word. God has the last word. The good news that our God hasn't just set this world in motion and left us spinning and watching, but God is interested in what happens in our life and wants to dwell with us. This is good news for everybody. And what God does is he equips them for the purpose. He gives them the means to share it with our world. Have you ever been a spot where you're like, well, I think I might have something I could say here, or maybe I could tell someone that, you know, my life has started to change a little bit, but you were afraid because you don't know what's going to be said or what's going to happen, or there's some other barrier in the way. For these people getting ready to go out into the worlds, they are just Galileans, this says. They were just simple people who worked in a rural area, who were fishermen, who were not the educated elite like Paul was. They are people who are following Jesus, doing everything that they could just to try to figure out how it was that they could be faithful to him. But yet, God broke down barriers and gave them the means to communicate the mission of God to those who had come. And I know sometimes when life change happens, when God moves in a big way in our life, and we decide to tell some, hey, I want you to know what God's done in my life. I'm not going to do that anymore. Or I'm a new person now. God has changed me. That sometimes we hear from someone, oh, is this another one of those phases you're going through? Is this just, how long is this going to last? People tend to brush those kinds of things aside, thinking, oh, it's just a phase. There are people within this scripture who are thinking, oh, this can't be really what's happening. And so they use this kind of drunk excuse. It's got to be something different. But the truth is that the Spirit of God is one who is poured out on the church. And one of the things that I find lacking in all of the scriptures is that the Spirit of God is taken away from the church. Never in any of the passages of Scripture does this happen. We have in Scripture that Jesus dwells among us and walks with us and does miracles and ascends to the Father in heaven. And when the Spirit is poured out on the church, the Spirit of God stays and remains with the church. If you follow through the book of Acts, you find amazing things happening. You find whether people are having visions about realizing who they can go to, or they're meeting people in groups of people that they've never met before and realizing God has told us that we need to share the gospel here, and they're getting baptized and they're coming to the faith. The Spirit of God never leaves the church, which means the Spirit of God is always still with us, so that any commitment we make to God, any covenant we make with God, is one that doesn't have to be just a phase or a passing moment. God's Spirit poured out on His people is to be with us in every stage of our life. And so when Peter addresses the crowd, he says to him, I want you to know what is happening today is something that we knew was going to happen. The prophet talked about this. And we heard that from Joel today as well. That the prophet said that your young sons and daughters will prophesy. And I want you to know that when he says they will prophesy, a lot of times we think of prophesying, we think of that prophetic voice of being something like someone who can tell the future. Someone who can know what's going to happen next. I think that's the way we often kind of think about prophets. There are people who seem to know what's going to happen next. But in our scriptures, the way the prophets function, even when they warn about, like for instance when Jeremiah and Isaiah warn about the army that's coming is going to sweep them away, they weren't telling the future so much as they were perceptive to the disobedience happening in that time. Their prophetic word was this: turn from your wicked ways and follow God. Repent and follow Him so that you will not be swept away from the powers of this world. The prophetic voice that we have is to speak God's truth into the lives of those around us. So when he says your sons and your daughters will prophesy, when he says that he's going to pour out his Spirit on men and women who are going to be his servants, he's not saying, hey, we're all going to somehow, you know, we're going to be able to like speak the future into people's lives or something. That's some kind of like, I usually think that's usually a manipulative tool of people who try to get people to do things or else they're going to predict bad things to happen to them. But the prophetic word that God gives to us is to allow us to speak God's truth into the lives of those whom we encounter. And He will do that for His church. That we are able, by God's Spirit, to speak to those whom He puts in our life. Whether they are family members or co-workers or neighbors. To be able to say as they share life with us, oh, you know what? I'm going to pray that God's going to see you through that part of your life. Oh, did you know that my God has been so faithful to me when I have been through that as well? And I'm going to pray that He will be faithful to you. Or can I tell you that the Spirit of our God is greater or more powerful than anything that could happen to you? And that you can have life as well for all eternity. That these are words and good news that we can share with those whom we meet. To be able to speak truth into their lives so that they could know that whatever it is that they are going through, whatever wilderness they are traveling through or valley that they have gone through, to know that there is a God who is with them even now. That is part of the good news that we have, that we are not just people just trying to struggle through this, but we are indeed living in the midst of our God. Jeremiah, one of the prophets that I mentioned before, who was trying to gather the people to repent and to say, turn from your ways because there's this army that's coming, but and God's going to use that army to destroy you if you don't turn from your ways. One of the things he says in Jeremiah chapter 33 is, God will write His law on our minds and in our hearts. That this is God's desire. It's not just that, oh, we would say, oh, here's the law and I need to follow it, but that we would say, I desire not just to know that there is a God, but to serve and love this God who has loved and cared for me. That this is what the Spirit of God does in our lives as well. That the Spirit of God works in our life not just to reveal to us, there is a God, but to help our hearts yearn and love this God who has made us, that the law of God would be written in our hearts. They've gathered together for Pentecost. This is the day, as I said, was a day where they remembered and respected that God had delivered His law for us to show us how to be obedient to Him. And what the Spirit of God does when it moves in our life is not just say, hey, there's a law and there's a list of rules you have to obey. But what He does is He opens up our hearts, fills it with love that we could say, I want nothing more than to glorify God with the time and the life that I have. That is the work that the Spirit of God does in us. And it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter if the sun darkens. It doesn't matter if the moon turns to blood. It doesn't matter if the world as I know it goes up in fire and billows of smoke. I'm going to follow God because He's led people through wildernesses. He's led me through the valley. And I'm going to follow Him because He'll lead us through no matter what the world throws at us. Our Savior is put on a cross, but God raises Him up and says that will not have the last word. And so for us, we can say that God will be with us. And that is why we can proclaim everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The story in Joel about that smoke, about the sun, that is a poetic way of imagining the worst that could happen. It's not some kind of, hey, just wait till the world gets destroyed. This is why even if hypothetically the world is destroyed, know this, we can turn to God and know that He will save us. And this is good news. When people are despairing about what's going on in the world or what's going on in our country or what's going on over there, what's going on in their homes, and they say, I don't know what's going to happen next, we can say, know this, whatever the worst can happen, our God wants to see you through that. And the Spirit is still at work. And what we celebrate on this day is not just, oh, this happened once before. This was something that happened on that day in Pentecost. What we celebrate today in worship is that the Spirit of God is still moving in the church and the Spirit of God is still moving in lives today. And I believe that the Spirit of God is even moving in lives of those who have not yet made a faith statement for God. Those who have not yet said, yeah, I believe. The people who God puts in our life and have no interest or no knowledge about God right now. But God softens hearts, opens up ears, creates windows of opportunity where we can say, hey, I think maybe God has put them in my life for a reason. And maybe God will tear down that barrier and help me find the words to say to help them. Whenever I would go to Jen and say, hey, Jen, I just ran into this person and I got to tell them about Jesus. They had asked me this question and I gave them an answer and they came back with another question. I gave them another answer. And after a while, I just said, can I pray with you? And I prayed with them and they received Christ. And Jen, through that, would celebrate with him. But she'd say, what did you say when they asked you that question? How did you respond? And like how did you get to that point where you were able to pray with them? And I said to her, I don't even know. Like, I don't even remember. I we were talking, we were going, and I just felt that God had just, like, was there in that conversation. I was just communicating with him and trying to share with them what God had done in my life, and I don't even know what that answer is. And she'd say, but because these are the kind of questions people might ask me too. And I said, yeah, I wish I knew. I just know the Spirit was working, and the Spirit was using my words. And next thing I know, they were open, and when I asked if I could pray with them to receive Christ, they said, okay. And I was blown away too, and I didn't know what was going on. And I found that often in moments like that, it's like I was speaking another language. No, I was speaking English, but like I was speaking directly into the situation they were in because God was there and because the Spirit was there and because the Spirit is at work today still in our world. Even for those who have not yet come into this church, God is still at work. And so know today on this Pentecost Sunday that the Spirit of God is still at work, and I believe at work in our lives too, calling us out. And know that there is no barrier and there is no shame to saying to someone who you know needs to know that there's a God who loves them, hey, I think God's not done with you yet. And I think He wants to be with you. Can I pray for you right now? Can I help you today? And let us see, as we are faithful to God to be His ministers in this world, what He will do to bring others to Him and find that indeed that what we have is not a passing phase, is not because we have taken something. It is because the Spirit of God has changed us and is doing something in us, has given us a reason to have hope, and has given us a reason to love the unlovable. And the Spirit of God is still moving in this church and the churches of this world.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God bless you abundantly as you serve Him today.